Will you pray with me? Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be honorable to you. Amen. Before the newborn cries of Jesus fill the cattle stalls, before Mary soothed her infant son by latching him to her breast, the cries of another child filled the air. John, who would be known as John the Baptizer, John, whose name means the mercy of God. Now, Zechariah, John's righteous father, had been mute throughout Elizabeth's pregnancy. Zechariah had met Gabriel's announcement that his barren wife would conceive with unbelief. And in turn, God met Zechariah's unbelief with imposed silence. Looking at his newborn son, the silence broke. Building on the prophetic proclamation of Mary and on Elizabeth's belief, Zechariah declared, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high, will break upon us. To shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." As Zechariah's words fell on the ears of family and friends, neighbors, and Jewish leaders, I wonder if they looked at each other in curiosity and asked, "What is this light that will dawn on us? What is this way of peace in which we are to walk?" During this Advent season, we have been preparing our hearts for the good news of Christ, for the good news of Christ's kingdom. During the first week of Advent, we reflected together on how we, as Christ's disciples, can be weighed down by the cares of the world. We were challenged to unburden our hearts of fear, to stay close to the ground, watching and waiting for the seed of the good news to grow. We then together thought about the chaff that weighs us down. The chaff, the things that distract us, deter us, consume us, and divert us from the Jesus way. The things that God desires to gently blow from our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then last week, we looked at Mary's leap of faith in co-laboring with God to bring Christ into the world. Melissa reminded us that we are not alone in submitting to the risks of following Christ, but we're tethered to a legacy of the faithful who have also chosen to participate with God in the transformation of this world. And now, in this last Sunday of Advent, we hear an invitation to allow our feet to be guided into the way of peace. Sitting here today, we not only have the words of Zechariah's prophecy, but we have the words of the prophesied one. We have the words of Christ to illuminate the way for us, the way of peace, this strange kingdom. Our main text takes place early in Christ's ministry. He is familiarizing those who have chose to follow him to the kingdom way. Luke 6 says that Jesus was at a level place, on a plain, surrounded by a great crowd of his followers and also those who have come from all around, long distances, to be healed. And in this place, Jesus turns to his disciples, and I paraphrase his words, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, they will have abundance. Blessed are those who grieve, they will laugh together. How dreadful it is for the rich. They have their joy. How dreadful for those who are full. They will hunger. How dreadful for those who are laughing now, for they will grieve. You, my followers, blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you, when they defame you because you follow me. Love them. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless the ones that curse you. Be merciful as your Father is merciful." This way of peace is familiar to us. We're Mennonites, right? Whether you were raised in this tradition or you found it later in life, you know from gathering together in this community that we believe and practice the gospel of peace. The Sermon on the Mount, the parallel passage for our text, is core to Anabaptist theology. But in these final moments of Advent waiting, in these final moments of preparation and expectation of Mary's divine infant entering the world, let's not allow these words to be too familiar. This way of peace is like a dream or a comedy, a sitcom even, where the main character wakes up and everything is upside down, a Freaky Friday situation where what we know is true of this world no longer makes sense. The poor are blessed, the fool will be hungry, love those that hate us. This is not the world we see or experience. We only have to step outside of our homes to take note of our nation's geopolitics, to attend a family gathering over the holidays, to be reminded that the good news of God's kingdom is a strange and bewildering light. I was reminded of this week when I was targeted with a Christmas ad on Facebook for goat guns, miniature collectible AR-15s. I'm reminded of this in conversations with friends my age. It seems everyone is thinking of having and buying, of wanting and saving, of accumulating and investing. I am reminded of this as many of us sat in this space last night to light these candles and hold vigil for the 45,000 lives murdered in Gaza. We live in a world that makes this peace look crazy, if not impossible. Where do you experience this holy dissonance? My temptation when I read this familiar passage of Christ's kingdom and how it works is to rest assured that I am on the right side. But it's when I sit with these words of how truly radical the kingdom way is and how opposite is to our world, that these final words of Christ from our text make me uncomfortable. But love your enemies, do good, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Kind and ungrateful to the wicked, be merciful. Throughout this season, we've been learning the song When Hope is Crushed. And each week, as we sing the chorus together, I've stumbled over the line, "Give us courage to love all you create." And looking at this weary world, which praises the rich and refuses to share with the hungry, I'm tempted to lift up my sword like Peter and prove I can take peace. Peace without mercy. With my words, with my anger, my frustration. But would that be peace? Zechariah's prophecy tells us that the bewildering light, this way of peace, was birthed from the deepest parts of our merciful God. And as John was born to witness God's mercy and bewildering light, we too have been born anew to witness to God's mercy and bewildering light. And so I ask you to consider as we sit in these final days of waiting, how are your feet being guided? As the dissonance of our world and God's kingdom grows starker, how are our feet being guided? Towards throwing in the towel, towards pursuing comfort, towards comparing ourselves with other Christians, towards hate for our enemies. The light that is dawning is here for all those that sit in darkness. The light that shone on Zechariah, the light that shone on Mary, the light that will shine on the shepherds, is the light of God which paints a path for us to walk that is counterintuitive, bewildering to our neighbors, and possibly at times bewildering for us. God, as the Spirit hovered over Mary to form the infant Christ in her womb, we ask that you form in our inward parts your mercy. and from that powerful source, guide our feet to peace. Amen.